Happy Sabbath. Our scripture is found in Philippians 2:13. It's a very short verse, but it's very precious. Okay, Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Amen.
Creation shows the power of God. There's glory all around, and those who see must stand in awe, for miracles abound. I believe in miracles. I've seen a soul set free. Miraculous, a change in one redeemed through Calvary. I've seen the lily push its way up through the stubborn sod. I believe in miracles. I cannot doubt the work of God. It's plain for all to see the miracle that he has wrought should lead to Calvary. I believe in miracles. I've seen a soul set miraculous, a change in one redeemed through Calvary. I've seen the lily push its way up through the stubborn sod. I believe in miracles, for I believe in God. The love of God, O power divine, 'tis wonderful to see the miracle of grace performed within the heart of me. I believe in miracles. I've seen a soul set free. Miraculous, a change in one redeemed through Calvary. I've seen the lily push its way up through the stubborn sod. I believe in miracles, for I believe in God.
Amen. How are you guys doing today? Happy Sabbath. Oh, come on. I know. I am happy to see y'all. Y'all. Texas. Stuck with me there. But it has been a journey. So I'll go ahead and plug in here. Let's see if we can get that pop in there. Beautiful. Halfway there. All right. I'm going to use this mic.
One, two. Un, dos, tres. 1, 2, 3.
Amen. So, everyone, don't be so quiet. I'm just glad to see y'all here today. I just came from our Chelan church. I kind of cheated a little bit. I said, I haven't seen them in a while. So I said, let me go over there real quick and say hello and preach a sermon. And so it was a blessing to be there, to see them, and to see now you guys. Amen. And so one of the things in regards to halfway there, today's sermon, before I get into it, one of the things I wanted to do is because we're about to have some kids, I call them kids, teenagers, that are about to leave us a little bit. And they're about to head to the academy, to UCA. And so I wanted to invite those kids up. I know Noelle is not here. I don't see Noelle here, but Eden and Jomar, they're already over there. Oh, Jonathan's not here. But I wanted to invite you guys up. These are our kids that are leaving our Brewster Christian School. And, well, I know you don't go to Brewster, but you come here to Brewster. And I wanted to have a special prayer for them, right, to receive a blessing. I hope that we hope, as a church, I believe we hope that that you're able to excel and do well. Amen? And not only that, but also have a profound Christian experience where you guys can get to be the leaders that you've been here and shared with us here. And hopefully you can share your smiles, your jokes, your personality, who you are and who God has made you to be so far, and bring that Brewster style over there, okay? All right, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to have young people in our church, Eden and Jomar and Noel as well, and all the other kids too that are headed to school in a couple weeks. Father, I particularly want to pray for Noel, Eden, and Jomar as they head out, and there's new journey in which we will not probably see them as much. I pray, Father, that you will continue to be with them, send your holy angels to surround them, to your Holy Spirit to speak to their hearts and be able to discern, be able to excel, be able to be who you want them to be, Father. We pray that they can bless the school and be a blessing to many others and be the leaders that they are, Father. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to have them here. And I know that they will be in and out, but hopefully we will not miss them too much. But know that they're in good hands with you over there. I know that as moms and parents, we are going to miss them. And hopefully we can deal with that as well. And just bless us and bless them as they go to the school. We love you. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys. I know it's going to be tough for the moms. My wife couldn't sleep last night thinking about it. So I know it's going to be real tough. And for the dads too. We will be happy that our refrigerators won't be open as much and food will be missing. They'll deal with that over there. I'm going to miss Jomar a lot. And I know that I missed him while I was away. So I know I'm going to miss you a lot, Bobby. I love you. Halfway there. This is a kind of a recap of our year.
You know, halfway through the year, we had this awesome experience here of VBS, and I didn't get the chance because I left a little early. I didn't get the chance to thank everyone for their hard work and being able to really help us put this VBS together. There are a lot of unknowns, things that happen that I know that people put their hearts into it. And so thank you so much. Thank you for this awesome experience. One of the, I guess you can say, the high points of this whole VBS wasn't just throwing water balloons at each other. It was actually being able to baptize this young child of God and being able to also have her family come up and also want to follow her footsteps. I had a conversation with them, and they're very interested. So please pray as I kind of dive into that. And hopefully next year would be, or this year coming up, will be her sister that will get baptized. And then maybe the mom and maybe the dad. Who knows? Right? Amen? Let us pray for that. The other thing is that right after that high point, that the climax of the year in which I left, my wife and I, we experienced the Dominican Republic. We did go to celebrate our 20 years, which was another high climax for us. We haven't killed each other yet. no, but we had such an amazing experience in Dominican Republic. A lot of stories. But we did enjoy the time there, the first week we were there in our honeymoon stage. And then right after that, we got into it with a church there in which we preached for a whole week. And we were able to evangelize to the families and the youth about life. And I think that they definitely felt it was a blessing, and we were able to bless that church. So thank you for allowing me to be gone for so long. Unfortunately, when I came back, I did get COVID, and I was alone. And so I dealt with COVID by myself. I didn't have my wife to be my, like, mommy and take care of me and give me soup and all that good stuff. But I did have friends that did stop and contact me and let me know, hey, Pastor Gene, anything? So thank you to all those that were in prayer. And I think it only lasted about 7 days, seven days. And then I was tested and came out clear. So thank God to that. I also was able to visit my mother, who might be coming in a couple of weeks. So you'll get to meet her some way, somehow. And so I'm excited about that. So it's been interesting. It's been a good turn of events. We definitely enjoyed it there in Dominican Republic. Another thing is we have vertical prayer for God's vision. You know, as we're getting into, guys, can you believe it? It's 148 days left to the year. 148 days left to the year. And so as we're closing out the year, one of the things that we want to do, which I wanted to start off anyways with, because as we're already envisioning ourselves in 2023 and trying to see where God wants to lead this church, Brewster and Chelan, where is it that God, that's one of the biggest things that I was worried about. I was like, Lord, I'm already thinking about next year. Yes, we have some things coming up in a couple months, but we have next year to also worry about. What vision, now that I've been here, it's going to be about to be my third year coming up, what does God want us to do as a church? You know, what is working, what is not working? What is the vision that God has for Brewster? And not for nothing, guys, but I am a big dreamer, okay? And so I don't think small, I think big. And so God knows that, because that's what he puts in my heart a lot of times. And so my goal is to have something big. I really believe that our third years are the, I guess you can say, third time's a, what is it? How do you say it? Third time's a charm? Okay, so third year is a big year for me and for us as a church. So we start off with prayer, right? Because in prayer, there is power. In Spanish, it's "Donde hay oración, hay poder en el nombre de Jesús." Amen? And so in the name of Jesus, there is power. So that starts September 1st, and it's for 40 days to October 10th, okay? Now, I wanted to thank you guys because I had a friend from the conference come in July. Many of you got to meet him. He's my boss. And someone had expressed to him the need of prayer and that wanted to start a prayer group. And I don't know who that was. He didn't give me any names. But whoever that is, they can actually help me with this.
to host it and to do the different activities, because we just don't want to just pray in our homes, and that's good and all that, but we also want to pray as a church. We want to pray as a unit, which we're going to talk a little bit about today. And so down there, there's an email. It's www.uccsda.org /vertical, right, as we're praying. And so in that, and whoever comes to me, I can give them this information, but in that particular website, there is something to fill out. And there are cards, and there are things that the conference material that the conference is willing to give us for free. Okay. Now, I've applied for most of the stuff, but if someone else can apply, we can get some more stuff. So that would be awesome if someone wants to join me and making this happen. This is from September 1st to October 10th. And there's a lot of things that we need to pray for. There's a list of things that we need to pray for our church and for our conference. So stay tuned to that as we get closer to September 1st. The next thing I have here is that we have a youth camp out. Amen? A youth camp out. So Eden, all the youth are invited. Jomar, all the youth are invited to this youth camp out. It will be in the campgrounds of Lola. Lola Campgrounds. And the reason I have it there is because, number one, I wasn't able to get something in Alta Lake because it's already packed. And number two, because we have the lake there, and we have a mountain, and we have scavenger hunt, we have everything's there set up really nicely. And Lola has given us the opportunity to do that. And so thank you, Lola, for opening your home so that we can, or your backyard, so that we can do that. And so everything will be provided. All you have to do is just come. Make sure you bring your tent and your sleeping bag. You know, if you want to sleep outside, you can sleep outside if you want. It's up to you. But everything else as far as food, laboratory, all that stuff is provided. Yeah, and it is also with the Spanish church. So it won't be just our church. It'll also be a joint venture with the Spanish youth church as well. So please, please sign up. Let me know, either myself or Miss Hartso, and we will jot you down, because we need to know that by Monday so I can buy the food and make sure I have enough for everybody. Amen? All right. Lastly, we're going to get into our topic. Sorry it took so long to get there, but I wanted to make sure everybody was aware of all the things that we have discussed. Let me pray so that we can dive into this word today. Father in heaven, we come to you seeking for you to speak to us today. I'm not worthy of that, but I thank you for giving me the privilege. May you open up our hearts and minds as we dive into your word. And so speak to our hearts and mind. We love you and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Halfway there. So when I was younger, a lot younger, I was about 12 years old, and I was in love. At least I thought it was love, as I had butterflies in my stomach. I was in love with this young, beautiful woman right here today that's in front of me. And we were all pathfinders. And at that particular moment, I saw her and her brother and a friend of mine, who I think used to like her too, but he didn't say it. I saw a friend of mine and them chart off into the waters to cross a lake similar to this one. And they imagine they had to cross from this side to the other side of the lake. And my brother-in-law is a pretty good swimmer, and so is my wife and my friend as well. And so they darted off. Now, me wanting to be next to her, you know, on the other side of the lake, which is a great idea, you know, have her somewhat to myself, I was like, I need to go over there. And so I had a friend of mine who is about like 6'2". His name is Wency. He's real tall kid. And I was like, Wency, I was like, listen, I want to go over there where they're going. And he's like, okay. I was like, I need you to come with me. Now, these are one of those friends that sometimes, like, they'll say they'll go with you, but then they, like, they'll be like, well, you know, and they'll put, like, a million excuses, you know, to not go with you or not do something with you. That's him. And I'm like, Wency, no, listen. And I convinced him. I said, listen, we'll have this ball. If we get tired along the way, just swim with the ball, you know, kind of like, because we didn't have life jackets. I was like, swim with the ball, you know, and we'll make it across. We'll make it. I promise you. We'll be good. We could do this.
Now, Wensie's 6 feet two, and so his stroke is a lot longer. Like, while he makes one stroke, it takes me like 10 strokes to reach to him. So he felt pretty confident at the same time, but I was like, I might need that ball. As we started heading and I charged through the water, I realized that I was halfway there. And as I realized that I was halfway there, I said, do I have enough to get to the other side? And so I said, Wentz, man, we're halfway there. Pass me the ball. And he's like, nah, man. He was like, no. Listen, I think that you will need to go the rest of the way on your own. And I was like, okay, but pass me the ball. He's like, no, I need the ball to get back. And so he left me there without the ball, and I was so tired already. But my goal, my beautiful goal was on the other side. My princess was on the other side. And this prince had to go and save her. So I decided to march upon the waters. And I didn't walk on the water, but I started swimming underneath the water. That's how I know how to swim. Even though it was dark, you know, because it was one of those dark lakes. And I started swimming. And I went up and I grasped for air. And it seemed like I swaddled at least 2 gallons of water, 2 or 3 gallons of water. And I finally reached the shore or whatever. And as I get there, it was funny because I was like, hi, Barbara. I made it. Yeah, I could do it. I made it just for you. You know, I didn't tell her that, but in my mind, I was telling her that. Made it just for you. And she goes, hey, Omar, you made it, huh? Well, see ya. Gotta go. And she darted back to the other side. And I wanted to say, I'm gonna follow you, but I couldn't. And so, lo and behold, I had to go and wait a couple minutes and swim back to the other side. And I remember as I was drowning a couple times, Barbara came in and saw the need, and she threw me the ball to the middle of the lake. And I was able to swim up to it, grab the ball, and just barely make it to the other side. I almost died, guys, okay? I almost drowned in the water, all right, trying to chase after her. That's part of life, right? If you want love, you got to fight for it. Even though I'm not a lover, I'm a lover, not a fighter, okay? You have to fight for love, amen? You have to fight for love, and that was one love I was willing to fight. You know, I really believe in here in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 13. I think Paul was also talking about fighting for that love, fighting for what you believe in, fighting for that thing. And if you want to go ahead and we're going to read that, Philippians 2, 13. Here, Paul makes his statement, and he says, For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Amen, because we have an awesome God that wants to fulfill that purpose in our lives today. And even though we're halfway there, I don't know where you're at with your goals. You know, maybe you gave up on them a little bit a couple months ago. Maybe you're struggling to meet those goals. Maybe you wanted to get out of debt, or maybe you wanted to have a deeper relationship with God. Maybe you wanted to read the Bible for the year. I don't know what your particular goal is today, or was a couple weeks ago or months ago. And maybe you haven't gotten there, but let me tell you something. You still have 148 days to complete that goal. Amen. And so what God starts in you, as he works in you, to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. You know, Paul here was talking to the Philippians. And just to give you a little bit of backdrop, you know, the Philippians were, you know, a pretty decent church, a pretty decent sized church. They were going through some struggles. They had some individuals that were infiltrating the church, whether they were Judaizers or just Gnostics or just different types of ideas that were coming into the church. And so Paul wanted to make sure that these individuals, even with everything that was happening around them, he wanted to make sure that they did not forget their purpose, that God had a purpose instilled into their hearts, especially as new believers in Christ Jesus. And so as he's stating this here, I can only imagine that this is not too far, not too different from our church today. If we continue to read here, he says, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure. I think that a lot of times our church does a lot of things with sometimes grumbling and arguing. Not this church. I'm talking about other churches. That we sometimes do things with grumbling and arguing. You know, I don't know if you're arguing about whether or not there's a Trinity, or whether or not, you know, last generation theology, or whether or not women should be ordained, or whether or not, whatever it is, I don't know, whatever we can come up with to argue about, ungramble about, whether or not, you know, like, when is it that we're going to stop and really realize that there is a bigger purpose out here to fulfill? Amen. Thank you. It says, just to give you a little context, let's read a little bit before that. It says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always disobeyed. No, it says obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. See, this church has been obeying, used to obeying and doing things the way that, you know, the manual, the church manual says, or maybe the 28 doctrines. And so just like that, they've been pretty good. Especially when Paul's around, it's easy to be good when your parents are around, right? But what about when you're alone, right? Are we constantly groaning or grumbling or arguing? And so he's trying to tell them something, because they did have a little bit of a fallout as differences were emerged. And that's okay. Thank God, because we're all different. Amen. Thank God, because we all bring some differences into our church. Amen. But we're supposed to be even though we have differences, and even though that we might have some things, there's some things that we need to make sure that does not get, sidetracked here. Because he says there, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. You know, this part right here where he says, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation and fear and trembling. I was like, but wait a minute. How can we work out our salvation? Didn't Jesus Christ work out our salvation for us? Isn't Jesus the one that was on the cross and died for our sins? And so what does this mean to work out our salvation? And so I started to look into this, because it really bothered me that Paul said, you got to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. I'm like, hello, but what happened to Jesus on the cross? What happened to him resurrecting and becoming my savior, my redeemer, my advocate, my everything? Like, I thought that was the purpose of, and so I said, is Paul talking about going back to the law? And absolutely, as I started to investigate, that's not what he actually means here. And this is where I want to get into a little bit, because a lot of times in life, we go through life and we have our plan, right? We have my plan, and our plan is to go straight sometimes. And I saw this picture here, and I said, man, this is not how I vision it at all. You know, a lot of times what happens is God's plan is the straight one. And he says, listen, my plan is very easy. It's as easy as it gets. It's pretty straight in the sense of, this is where I want you guys to go. But a lot of times what happens is that we make our own plans, and it's because of that times that we have it kind of rough. Now, granted, there are some times where iron has to sharpen iron, and God allows some things to happen in your life, not because he has a plan for to destroy it, but to build you up, to grow in Christ. And so because of that, you may think you have some difficulty, but let me tell you something today. God does not give you more than what you can handle. Amen. So we know that God has a plan. He has a purpose for us. And it says it's a good plan. It's a good purpose. He wants to fulfill this in you. But a lot of times we start grumbling because of certain things. We start mumbling because of certain things are not going the way that we planned it. But see, there's no greater plan than God's plan in your life. When Christ is the center of your life, everything changes. Everything becomes new, my friends. And so here, Paul wanted to make sure that they understood that when it says here to continue to work out your salvation, who was the one who worked out the salvation issue for you? Jesus. Christ was the one that worked it out for you. And so what he's telling the people here from at the Philippines is like, the Philippines, not the Philippines. But what he's trying to tell them here, my friends, is the following thing. If you are saved, if you know that you're saved in Christ Jesus, then you better start acting like you're saved in Christ Jesus. That is what he's telling here. You better start communicating a little bit better. You better start treating each other a little bit better. And I get that from verse chapter 2, verse 1. Let's go ahead and read there where it says, imitating Christ's humility as a title in some of your Bibles. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being what? Unlike-minded? No, by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as pastor. Is that what it says there? Have the same mindset as the conference? No, my friends. It says there has the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What is the mindset of Christ Jesus? Well, let's continue reading. It says, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his what? To his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. My friends, that is the therefore there, because of that, because we have the Savior and he has made us one with him, now we should also be together, one with each other in the same mindset. But unfortunately, sometimes we mumble too much. We grumble, we complain, in other words, a little too much. And sometimes we tend to lean on those things because we have the 28 doctrines and we have the prophecies and we have the truth and we have the vegan diets or the whatever you want to call it. We have all these things and we think and we believe that, oh, because we have that, then we got everything. And because of that, then there's no need there. If you're not with the team, then forget about it. If you're not a vegetarian, then forget about it. If you don't believe in this, then forget about it. And so we forget one thing. And that is that we have to be Christ-like minded. We have to become servants. If we talk about the latter rain and we want the latter rain to happen, you think that happens when we're all disagreeing? Or you think that will happen when we're all like-minded? What happened with the disciples? It wasn't until they all were Christ-like minded that then the Holy Spirit was poured down upon them. Now, do we have to wait? The question is, do we have to wait until we're all Christ-like minded? Is that up to us? Not at all, my friends. Thank you for answering that. Not at all. Being Christ-like minded starts, it's a lifestyle. You remember how I told you, I don't know if you remember a long time ago, I said, listen, if we were to take a day to better ourselves, every day you better yourself 1%, how many days in a year? 365 days. So if we better ourselves every day 1%, then we have what? 365% better than last year we were, right? Because every day we could be better 1%. That's just figuratively speaking. My man is doing the math here. So maybe you haven't been better, okay, the last couple, 6 months or 7 months, right? And so maybe we lost that opportunity to be better 1% every day. But I tell you, today is a new day. Today is not just any other day. Today is a Sabbath, especially beautiful Sabbath, okay? Today is a beautiful day. Today is the perfect moment for us to start. And we have 148% better? Today you have the opportunity, and I have the opportunity to be 148 days better than we were last year. We still have time. But don't think that this time will last forever. See, because Paul, when he was writing here to the Philippians, okay, he actually thought that Jesus was to come not in a couple of thousands of years, but or hundreds of years, but right there and then. He really thought that Jesus was coming soon. And if that was back then, how sooner do you think that Jesus will come now? As we look at a timeline, for example, this is the chronology of the last day events. It's pretty what we kind of overall think as Adventists, as we believe in the millennium and how Jesus is going to come. I mean, we have some insights that are unbelievable. We have the investigative judgment right here, sitting right here. And as we see here, we have things that already happened that we already have been able to calculate thanks to God's word. You know, we don't know the day or the hour, but we sure know the time. Amen? We know the time. And so we know that time-wise, we're already, the beginning of the papal wound had already happened, 1929. And we know that we're somewhere around here because the third angel's message from 1844 has been preached. Righteousness by faith proclaimed. Amen? But my friends, if we were to pick a time, it would be here where we have a lot of counterfeit reformation among false churches happening. There's a lot of unity within the other churches that is happening that we can't take it lightly. And so looking at a timeline, you would say, well, we're about a quarter of the way. You know, we still have time. No, my friends, because the time of probation is right here. Okay, as you can see, the close of probation is right here, where the Spirit of God will be withdrawn, saints will be ready, they're ready for the Lamb, and so the reality is that the time is nearer than what we think, because the reality also is that all this great time of trouble, I don't believe in my heart that it will last long. I think this will, just like the day seems to go faster and faster, that time will go just as fast. All this will happen just as fast, probably within time. And so the reality is that our time is very short. And so why waste our time? Why waste our time in this bickering? You know, I know that the devil will try to do whatever he can to break the church apart. He will throw in so many different angles and he'll challenge your relationship with God. He is wanting to challenge your relationship with God. He wants these things, all these things, to distract you. Remember we talked about that a while back. He wants to distract you, to make you think, oh, you have all the time in the world. Or the opposite, you've wasted your time. What are you doing in church? You haven't changed a bit. You're still the same Omar. You still sin. You're still this. You're still that. And he wants to put you down like you're worthless. Like you don't mean anything to Jesus. And so the question here is, we're halfway there. Which way are you going to go? Are you going to continue swimming through the currents that continue to try to pull you back, but you want to make it to the other side? That race that Paul talks about? Or are you just going to go back and give up and not make it across? You know, I firmly believe, especially after coming from our trip, you know, as we were traveling across the waters and we were really enjoying ourselves, there was one thing that came to my mind. And as I was thinking this thought, I looked over to my wife, and as the hair was blowing the wind was blowing through her hair, and she looked so beautiful at that moment, and the water was behind her. And I was about to say it, but she said it first. You know what she said to me? She said, "Baby, I miss Brewster. I miss Washington." And I looked at her because I was thinking the same thing. I couldn't stop thinking about Washington, not because of how beautiful it is or how we enjoy being here, but really because we know there are souls out there that still haven't gotten the word, that still haven't been able to hear the gospel to its full extent. And it just touched my heart that we were, as husband and wife, at this particular moment, it was like the Spirit has spoken upon us. You know, we were at peace, and it was just like, boom, that came into our mind, and we were like-minded. You know, just a couple of hours before that, we probably weren't like-minded. But at that particular moment, we were. And I was like, wow, how God just changes that all around, you know? I thought that for me at that particular moment, I said, your work still has to be done, Father. And so for me, I know that God, not because there's anything special in me, guys. There's nothing special about me. I'm just regular Omar. But I know that God, in this case, brought me here for a particular reason. And as I see our church evolve, because I want to tell you that I have seen more than 1% happen in our church as changes I've seen the lives of people here change and attitudes change and just different things that I've been able to see how God has been working. I know that there's more to be done. I know that the power of God is working in Brewster. And I have a feeling that something big is going to happen here. I mean, I don't know what it is, but I have a feeling that something big is going to happen here. Something will happen in the years that I have left here. I don't know what God has installed. I don't know what that is, but that's why I want to pray. I want to have prayer, because in prayer there is power. And so that's why I'm asking for our church to join me, not just in September 1st, but to join me now in prayer. Start praying for God to move this church, to move the Spanish church, to move Chelan, for that something special can happen in this area, so that God can manifest His Holy Spirit here, and that everything that we speak, everything that we do, it doesn't just go in vain. You know, it doesn't just happen another VBS. No, that it may transform something, that someone's life may be transformed like it was in this VBS, and so many other things happen, like all the activities that we do through the school and things to that nature. So please, my friends, don't let this rest of the year, if you haven't been able to accomplish your goals or be halfway there, don't give up, number one. Number two, consider what Paul's words, what God has started, the good works, He will continue to do that. He has a purpose for you and I. And then it all comes to its closure here, where He continues to say, look at this beautiful promise that He's made here. Let's go ahead and read verse 15 as we conclude here. It says, so that you may become blameless and pure. So that you may become blameless and pure. Now, I don't know what perfection is, because we're far from it. But to be called blameless and pure is not any of our doing. The doing is of Christ in your life and in my life. Amen? And He says, to be blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. If we know that our generation is crooked in this time, we know that for sure, because what they call good is bad and what they call bad is good. When we look at what's happening in society, of all the things that are happening, yeah, we can definitely see the crooked generation. And so there's a call here, and that call is found here. It says, then you will shine among them like stars in the skies as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. My friends, you know, these are the words of Paul, and I kind of also say the same thing. I know that God has brought me here for a purpose. And I know that it's not just to come here and preach every Sabbath, and that's it. I mean, I like that part of my job, and I don't see it as a job. I see it as a privilege and something that I like to do. But I envision our church doing much, much more things. And I know there's so much talent here, and there's so much things that God can put together so that these seats will not be empty, but be filled with people that are yearning for God's word, and that they may see that light that shines in us, and that they can follow us to God, to the foot of the cross. That's what I want. I just can't wait until that happens, and I know it's going to happen. It's just that we have 145 days to make it happen. I'm not waiting until next year. I want it to start happening now. So let us continue to pray for that. Pray for the Holy Spirit to work this out, and for us to have the initiative and look and seek for the face of God so that He can start shining that light in us today. Amen. Let us stand, please, so we can sing our last hymn and have our prayer.
626. Let us sing a song that will cheer us by the way. In a little while we're going home. For the night will end in the everlasting day. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows full. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home. We will do the work that our hands may find to do. In a little while we're going home. And the grace of God will our daily strength renew. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, when we cross the billows foam, we shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home. We will smooth the path for some weary wayward feet. In a little while we're going home. And the loving heart spread around in it so sweet. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home. There's a rest beyond, there's relief from every care. In a little while we're going home. And no tears shall fall in that city bright and fair. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows home. We shall meet at last in the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home.
Amen. You know, in a little while we are going home. I can't wait to see my son, my grandfather, and so many others that died in Christ. And I know that you can't wait to see your loved ones as well. But in doing so, we still have work to do. We still have to face the music, as they say down here. But we're not alone. We're not alone. God is there with us every step of the way. And he wants us and desires the best for us. We just have to follow his plan. I hope that today that is in your heart, to follow his plan. And if you don't know what his plan is, pray about it. And also, I'm here to serve you in anything that you need in that regards. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much once more for giving us the opportunity to know that you want us home. But there is work to do, Father. As a church, we thank you for giving us the privilege to work and be servants to this community in a way where we can serve and we can provide help and we can speak of your word freely as we can, Father. And so I just pray that we continue to reach out to others as they need help in different ways, that we can be that light in darkness. We know that many of us may be battling different things, whether it's illness physically or also spiritually. Help us to heal. Give us healing. Give us the discernment that we need. Give us, Father, the yearning of continuing to search scriptures to get closer to you. We need you desperately, Father, as these times are going to get not better but worse. So give us the strength. Give us all that we need, Father, to push and persevere forward to get across to the other side. We love you, Father. We can't wait to see you. Forgive us for falling short of your glory. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.